This program is provided by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim.
Imagine for a second, you're sitting in a radiology reading room in a really busy Chinese hospital.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
Right. So the room is dimly lit, monitors are glowing, and a doctor is leaning in, looking super closely at your latest CT scan. But here's the catch.
They aren't the first one to look at it.
Exactly. Before human eyes even glanced at that image, an artificial intelligence system has already rapidly analyzed the entire scan.
Like completely mapped it out.
Yeah, it already found a tiny suspicious lesion, highlighted it in crisp 3D on the screen, calculated its exact measurements down to the millimeter, and like even drafted a preliminary diagnostic report.
Wow.
So the human doctor is essentially just stepping in to review the AI's homework.
It's a really striking image, right? And what's wild is that this isn't science fiction, and it's not some, you know, isolated pilot program in a single hospital. Mm-hmm. It's quickly becoming the actual baseline across the country.
Which is exactly why we're exploring this today, because you might think this kind of tech is just reserved for a few wealthy tech hubs in, I don't know, Beijing or Shanghai.
Right. The big cities.
But over the next few years, China is mandating this reality for nearly every hospital in their system.
It's a massive shift.
It really is. So today we're doing a deep dive into a huge stack of recent Chinese regulations, action plans, and expert consensus documents. These all stretch from late 2024 to mid 2026.
That's quite the reading list.
Oh, absolutely. We're calling this collection Chapter 11. And these files were actually compiled and analyzed for us by lawyer Kyung Jin Kim, giving us a really detailed look under the hood of what's happening.
Yeah, lawyer Kyung Jin Kim's analysis is fantastic for breaking this down.
So our mission today is to decode how these dense policies actually work on the ground, and more importantly, how they plan to pull off this massive AI integration without, you know, letting the machines put human doctors entirely out of a job.
Right, because that's the big fear, isn't it?
Yeah.
But to really grasp the scale of what lawyer Kyung Jin Kim shared with us, we have to start with why radiology was the beachhead for all this.
Right, why start there?
Well, if you look at the November 2024 National Health Commission guidelines, they clearly show AI taking root in those imaging reading rooms first because of the nature of the data.
Because it's visual.
Exactly. Medical imaging like x-rays, MRIs, CT scans, it's highly structured data.
Ah, so the computer doesn't have to decipher a doctor's terrible handwriting on a prescription pad.
No, not at all.
Or, like, try to interpret a patient's tone of voice when they say their stomach hurts just a little bit.
Right. The AI doesn't deal with human nuance there. It just calculates the visual map. Locating a lesion and generating a 3D model is basically a math problem, which AI is, you know, exceptionally good at.
Makes sense.
But as these policies make incredibly clear, analyzing images was only step one.
Yeah, the ambitions go way beyond just reading scans. I mean, let's look at the official timeline laid out in the October 2025 National Health Commission implementation opinions.
Oh, this is where it gets really ambitious.
Right. They've drawn a line in the sand with two massive target dates. First is 2027, which is all about establishing what they call trusted health data spaces.
And getting those specialized clinical grade AI large models built?
Exactly. So think of 2027 as laying the foundation.
Right. It's the infrastructure phase.
But the second date is the real game changer.
Yeah.
2030.
Just around the corner.
Yeah. By 2030, the government mandate is that intelligent AI assistance must be ubiquitous, like everywhere. And they specifically highlight primary care.
That's huge.
It is. The objective is to have AI assisting general practitioners, even in small local clinics. By then, the major standards and regulatory frameworks have to be locked in tight.
But here's the thing. Building and running this kind of medical AI is incredibly expensive.
Oh, for sure.
So what stops this from just becoming a vanity project? Like, it's really easy for a massive top-tier hospital in a major city to buy a flashy million-dollar AI robot, put out a press release, and call it a success.
While the rural clinics get absolutely nothing.
Exactly. How is the government forcing this technology to actually be useful across the board?
Well, they're aggressively trying to avoid that exact scenario. The December 2025 Fujian Province Notice tackles this head-on with a very strict mandate.
What's the mandate?
So starting in 2026, the province has to select more than 10 high-value AI application scenarios every single year. But the patch is that these scenarios must be highly replicable.
Meaning they can't just rely on some ultra-expensive server setup that only one wealthy hospital can afford.
Exactly. If a hospital develops a brilliant AI tool for early cancer screening, but it requires, I don't know, a proprietary supercomputer that no one else has.
The government isn't interested.
Right. They won't scale it. The technology has to be transferable. Mm. It has to work in a well-funded city hospital and a modest county clinic alike. They are demanding real-world utility over tech hype.
That's a really smart approach, and it goes way beyond just the consultation room, too.
Oh, totally.
If you look at the National Health Commission's provisions on patient services, they map out an entire patient loop powered by AI. We're talking about pre-hospital smart appointments.
Like booking the visit.
Right. So instead of you trying to guess which specialist you need to see, an AI analyzes your symptoms and books you with the correct department automatically.
That would save so much time.
And once you're actually in a bed, there's intelligent nursing and continuous condition monitoring.
It even scales up to the regional administrative level, doesn't it, with intelligent patient transfer systems.
Yeah, that part is fascinating.
Imagine a patient arrives at a local primary care clinic with a really complex cardiac issue. The clinic just doesn't have the resources to treat them.
Right, they need to be moved.
So instead of the staff making a dozen frantic phone calls to find an open bed somewhere, a provincial AI system instantly analyzes the medical resources across the entire region.
Oh, wow. So it sees everything.
Everything. It looks at department load rates at larger hospitals, cross-references, surgeon availability, factors in the patient's acuity level, and automatically allocates a transfer to the best available facility.
It's routing patients like packets of data on a network.
Exactly. And it's managing all the mundane logistics, too, like running the operating room schedules, tracking the precise cost of treating a single disease, managing the pharmacy inventory.
Doing all the heavy lifting behind the scenes.
Right. But let's pause here for a second, because upgrading a massive healthcare system with this much automation by 2030, well, it feels like rewiring a city's electrical grid while the power is still surging through it.
That's a good way to put it.
If AI is flooding into literally every corner of the hospital, from booking appointments to routing ambulances, how do they prevent the system from just sliding onto autopilot?
Like humans getting lazy.
Yeah. What stops hospital administrators from quietly cutting medical staff and leaving the machines to run the show?
Well, that is the central tension lawyer Kunjin Kim highlights in these documents. The government is actually acutely aware of the autopilot risk.
Okay, that's reassuring.
And they've established rigid legal boundaries to prevent it. The expert consensus reports from April and July of 2026 lay down this absolute golden rule.
Which is?
Legally, AI in a Chinese hospital is categorized purely as an external brain and an assistant. It is explicitly barred from ever being a replacement for a doctor.
Ah, the wording there is very deliberate.
Extremely deliberate. They're making a legal distinction, not just a philosophical one.
Right.
It's the bedrock of the entire framework. If the AI system suggests one treatment plan, but the human doctor disagrees, the physician retains the ultimate final decision-making authority.
And I imagine that's tied heavily to liability.
Precisely. The AI cannot be sued for malpractice. If something goes wrong, the hospital and the human doctor bear the full legal responsibility.
Man, I love how clear they make the transparency rules for the patients, too.
Yes, the transparency stuff is vital.
Unsupervised AI is legally banned from independently making decisions in high-risk care. Plus, any content generated by the AI, say, a discharge summary or a clinical note in your medical record, it has to be clearly labeled as AI-generated.
They can't hide it.
Right. The doctor can't just hit print and hand it to you. A human physician has to read it, verify it, and sign off on it first.
It guarantees the human acts as a mandatory filter between the machine's algorithmic output and the patient's actual care.
You know, it reminds me of a hyper-intelligent, incredibly eager medical intern.
Ah, yeah.
Like, this AI intern can read 1,000 medical journals in a second, draft all your clinical notes flawlessly, and confidently suggest a diagnosis based on, you know, cutting-edge research.
Good.
But at the end of the day, the attending physician still has to review the intern's work, sign the chart, and take all the blame if that intern makes a mistake.
And tying that liability directly to the human attending is what ensures the hospital never removes them from the loop. I mean, the hospital's insurance and legal standing literally depend on human oversight.
Okay, so treating the AI like an intern makes total sense for administrative tasks or drafting a report. But these policies also govern AI in life or death situations, right?
They do.
We're talking about AI assisting in emergency interventions or invasive procedures. How does the law handle the fact that the exact same underlying technology is being used to both schedule a calendar invite and guide a scalpel during brain surgery?
Well, you can't regulate those two things the same way.
Obviously not.
which is why the July 2026 Hospital Expert Consensus introduces a very strict three-tiered risk classification system.
Oh, interesting.
It dictates precisely how the technology must be handled based on the potential for harm.
Let's break those tiers down.
Sure. So the first is low risk. This covers administrative and auxiliary tasks using non-sensitive data. We're looking at logistics, back office operations, or basic patient routing.
Right. So if the AI algorithm messes up a supply chain order and orders 10,000 bandages instead of 1,000.
It's a massive headache for the accounting department, but nobody's physical health is at risk.
Exactly. So the regulatory burden there is the lightest.
Yes. Then we move up to medium risk. This involves AI assisting with general clinical decision-making and chronic disease management.
Okay, higher stakes.
Much higher. Now we're dealing with sensitive patient data, and algorithmic errors here could certainly slow down care or lead to mistakes. But the defining characteristic of the medium risk tier is that errors can realistically be caught and corrected by human re-verification before they harm the patient.
Ah, I get it. So if the AI recommends the wrong dosage for a routine blood pressure medication, the human doctor reviewing the chart should spot the discrepancy, flag it, and fix the prescription before the patient ever takes a pill.
Precisely. The human review acts as a sufficient safety net there.
Right.
But then we cross into the high-risk tier, and the rules become incredibly rigid. High-risk scenarios are where AI directly integrates into core medical actions.
Like what?
Things like core diagnosis, treatment decisions, invasive procedures, and critical emergency interventions. In these moments, an incorrect output from the AI can cause severe, immediate, and irreversible health damage.
So what are the actual safeguards for high risk? How do they stop our eager AI intern from making a catastrophic error in the middle of a surgery?
The requirements are intense.
Mm-hmm.
For starters, during the pilot application phase, any high-risk AI system isn't just treated as software.
What is it treated as?
It must secure an official medical device registration certificate from China's National Medical Products Administration, or NMPA.
Wait, really?
Yeah. It's regulated with the same scrutiny as a new surgical implant or a pacemaker.
Wow, that's strict.
Secondly, the hospital has to obtain explicit, informed patient consent.
Which is huge. As a patient, you absolutely have a right to know if a machine learning algorithm is helping guide the surgeon's hands.
Exactly. And third, they mandate a strict dual review mechanism for clinical use. A designated manager has to review the case alongside mandatory human verification of the AI's output in real time.
Which leads right into the most fascinating part of this entire policy stack. The manual override.
Yes, a kill switch.
The kill switch.
Yeah.
The consensus specifically outlines that if an AI system starts acting abnormally, or if its output suddenly jeopardizes a core workflow, authorized personnel must be able to instantly hit a physical or digital kill switch, halt the system, and take over manually.
It's the ultimate assertion of human supremacy over the machine.
But let's think about the mechanics of that for a second. Imagine an AI-assisted robotic arm is performing a really delicate tissue resection.
All right.
Suddenly, the AI hallucinates and misidentifies healthy tissue as a tumor. The surgeon can't just unplug it and let the robotic arm go limp inside the patient.
Oh, God, no.
Right. Hitting that kill switch means the system has to instantly disengage the AI's motor control, lock the physical instruments in a safe position, and instantly transfer manual control back to the surgeon's joysticks without a millimeter of dangerous movement.
It's a massive engineering challenge. And the policy goes even further on the administrative side, too. Yeah, when that kill switch is pulled, the system must automatically log the exact millisecond of termination.
A paper trail.
A very detailed digital paper trail. That log is then immediately reported to the hospital's internal artificial intelligence governance committee for a full mandatory review. They treat an operational AI failure with the exact same gravity as a major human medical error.
It's a brilliant safeguard for sudden, in-the-moment failures. But, you know, the foundational safety of any AI, its actual brain, relies entirely on the data it consumes.
Right. Garbage in, garbage out.
Exactly. The kill switch stops a bad decision, but how do they prevent the AI from learning bad habits in the first place? Like, who holds all this highly sensitive medical data?
That brings us to what I call the data fortress. Looking at both the National Health Commission regulations and the Fujian Province notice, they've established incredibly stringent data protection rules.
What's the core philosophy there?
It's driven by a single phrase. Data does not leave the hospital.
That sounds great on paper, but how do you actually enforce that technologically?
By completely locking down the infrastructure. The policies require that all training data, inference data, and operational data must remain physically on local hardware.
Or private clouds?
Yeah, private on-premise clouds that the hospital fully controls. Raw patient data, your clinical records, your lab results, your imaging, none of it can leave the internal network unless it has undergone rigorous de-identification and desensitization.
Meaning scrubbing away names, ID numbers, addresses, anything that could remotely tie that medical history back to you as an individual.
Yes. And to ensure there are no accidental leaks or backdoors, dedicated healthcare networks, and these internal AI systems are strictly banned from being connected to the public internet.
Wow. Totally air-gapped.
They are creating completely air-gapped environments. You absolutely cannot upload unanonymized patient data to a third-party public cloud AI model, no matter how convenient it might be.
You know, I noticed a really specific rule from the Fuji notice regarding the data they used to actually build and train these AI models in the first place.
Oh, about the synthetic data.
Yes. They mandate that research and development must use real, objective clinical data originating from actual healthcare service delivery. They explicitly ban developers from relying solely on synthetic data.
That is such a vital safeguard for clinical accuracy.
Why is that? I mean, synthetic data is used all the time in tech.
Well, synthetic data is basically data generated by another computer to mimic real patient records. It's incredibly cheap, it's easy to produce in massive quantities, and it avoids privacy issues because the patients aren't real.
Sounds perfect for training an AI.
It does, but biology is messy. Synthetic data can inadvertently bake in algorithmic biases or entirely miss the chaotic, unpredictable reality of human physiology. By demanding real clinical data, they force the AI to learn from the real world.
But wait, to process all that real-world data securely on-site, you need a staggering amount of computer muscle.
You really do.
Looking at the December 2025 Beijing Action Plan, they are building massive digital engines to power this. They're bringing in a dedicated 1,000-card computing cluster exceeding 300 PFLOPS just for healthcare.
300 PFLOPS. It's mind-boggling.
To put that kind of muscle in perspective for you, we're talking about supercomputer-level infrastructure. It's not just a nice server rack sitting in a hospital closet.
Oh, no.
This is a machine capable of hundreds of quadrillions of calculations a second, built solely to churn through medical data without ever connecting to the outside world.
The physical infrastructure required to keep this data localized and secure is truly monumental.
Wait, hold on. I'm seeing a contradiction here.
What's that?
AI gets smarter by consuming massive, diverse amounts of data from everywhere, right? It learns by seeing millions of edge cases.
True.
So if every hospital is building a walled garden where the data can't leave and can't connect to the internet, aren't we inherently handicapping the AI's intelligence to save patient privacy?
I see what you mean.
Like if the AI in a Beijing hospital can't learn from a rare genetic case happening down in Fujian, the external brain is never going to reach its full potential.
You've hit on the ultimate tug of war in modern medical AI right there. Data security versus algorithmic capability. But the policymakers are attempting a highly technical workaround. Remember that 2027 goal we mentioned earlier?
The establishment of trusted health data spaces.
Right, the infrastructure phase. That's their proposed solution to this exact problem. They're utilizing a concept known as federated learning.
Federated learning, yeah.
Instead of taking highly sensitive raw patient data and sending it out to a giant central server to train the AI, which, as we said, is a massive privacy vulnerability, they reverse the flow.
How do you mean?
The AI models themselves travel to the secure data spaces within the individual hospitals. The model acts almost like a visiting scholar.
A visiting scholar, I like that.
It goes into the hospital's secure basement, learns some local data, updates its internal logic, and then leaves. It doesn't take any raw patient details with it. It only shares the updated mathematical insights back to the central model.
Oh, that's clever.
It's a complex logistical ballet, but it allows the AI to learn from a nationwide population without ever moving or exposing the raw data.
Okay, let's pull all of these threads together. What does this all mean for the future of medicine? We've just digested a mountain of Chinese regulations from Chapter 11, guided by lawyer Kingjin Kim's analysis.
And it's a lot to take in.
It is. But the core takeaways for you are clear. Chinese hospitals are sprinting toward a 2030 reality where AI is integrated into every single touch point, from scheduling your annual checkup to actively assisting in your neurosurgery.
But they are building this future with rigid risk tiers, absolute data air gaps, and a firm legal mandate that the human doctor is always the ultimate boss.
Exactly.
And while these specific regulations are rolling out in Chinese hospitals, the operational dilemmas they are trying to solve are completely universal.
Right. This isn't just a regional issue.
No matter where you live, the integration of AI into your own local primary care clinic is going to crash into these exact same hurdles. How do you protect patient privacy when the algorithm is so hungry for data?
Or who pays the malpractice settlement when the machine makes a misdiagnosis?
Exactly. And how do you maintain a meaningful human-in-the-loop system when the technology operates at a speed completely beyond human comprehension?
Which actually brings me to a final, slightly unsettling thought I want to leave you with.
Uh-oh.
Right now, in 2026, all of these policies violently insist that the human doctor has the final say. The human is supreme.
As they should be.
And that makes sense today. But let's fast forward 10 or 15 years. What happens when these massive federated networks and 300 PFLOP supercomputers create an AI that is statistically far more accurate than any human physician on Earth?
I mean,
we're talking about a machine that has read a billion scans, cross-referenced every medical journal ever published, and never, ever forgets a symptom.
It's inevitable.
If that AI suggests a life-saving treatment, and the human doctor uses their legal authority to override it, and the patient dies, will we reach a point where a doctor actually faces a malpractice lawsuit for ignoring the AI's advice?
Man, that completely inverts the entire concept of a human safety net.
It really does. So next time you're sitting in a doctor's office or picturing that dimly lit radiology room with the glowing CT scan, remember that right now the human is double checking the machine's homework.
For now?
But the day is rapidly approaching where the machine might be the one grading ours.
This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.